This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6, Episode 24, with a look ahead to Sunday and Monday games in Week 1. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area like me, there are 12 original Hooters brand locations to serve you, including their newest gem. Just a little bit west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54 in Odessa. Wonderful outdoor space for dining, drinking, watching football. Spacious indoor new look for Hooters that you will really like. Same beautiful service, same tasty wings, same cold drinks at that Odessa location on State Road 54 that you would expect at any of the other original Hooters brand locations. Easy online ordering in the greater Tampa Bay area, originalhooters.com, originalhooters.com. All right, let me get right to it. Game by game for Sunday and Monday. I'm just going to give you the game, and then I'm going to give you what I'm looking at that might be telling whether I have ownership of a particular player or not from a fantasy perspective in all the games this weekend. And remember, the Vegas lines can often tell you something. For example, it helps you with tiebreakers. So let's look for some high totals. Let's look for totals that are 50 or more. Arizona-Tennessee is a total of 53 at the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas. On a tiebreaker, I think you're playing either a Cardinal or a Titan over, say, a player in the Jets-Carolina game, which is at 44, as one example. Cleveland-Kansas City is the biggest number I see at 54.5. I also see Baltimore-Las Vegas at 50.5. Green Bay, New Orleans at 50. So again, apply these numbers for your fantasy purposes where you see a big total. Expect more offense, more scoring in those games. It doesn't dictate who you sit, who you start, but it might help you break a tie based on what very talented people who set these numbers for a living are telling you about the games where the most offense is going to be. All right, Pittsburgh-Buffalo. I'm looking at the workload for Najee Harris. I saw someone, it was probably RotoPat, who said, you know, when Pittsburgh selected him in the first round of the draft, it was as automatic of a three-down running back as you could get, like instantly and overnight. Many of you drafted Najee Harris as your second running back, took him in either round two or round three. I don't think he went in many round ones because he's just a rookie. But I want to see Najee Harris's workload. From the Buffalo standpoint, beyond the obvious of what's Josh Allen going to do, let's see how Diggs does for a first game encore. He was wide receiver three last year in my 21st century standard scoring settings, only behind Hill and Adams. See if he can pick up where he left off. Jets and Carolina, again, one of the lower totals at 44. Is that the lowest total of the weekend? No, Miami-New England's 43.5. Denver and the Giants, oh, what an awful game, 42. Okay, so it's the third lowest. What am I looking for from the Jets? Anything? I mean, at this point, the Jets, I didn't even think twice about drafting any of the Jets. I could have taken Elijah Moore. I didn't because he's a Jet. I'm mindful of James Robinson being RB4 in my scoring settings last year on a shitty team. But I need to see it to believe it with the New York Jets as it relates to whoever that might be. I don't think many of you are starting Jets week one. From Carolina's standpoint, DJ Moore. Yeah, I think he was a good sort of, not early round, but I guess upper mid round wide receiver value for many of you. I took him in one of my leagues. I think the talent is there. Let's see if Darnold can connect with him even better than Bridgewater did last year. Jacksonville-Houston, speaking of dog games, maybe, I don't know, the only win for either team for at least a month or more is this game. It'd be appropriate if it ended in like a 9-9 tie. From Jacksonville's standpoint, let's see the workload for James Robinson. And just adding one more, let's see if Trevor Lawrence has a favorite target. From the Houston standpoint, I want nothing to do with any Houston Texans, much like I want nothing to do with any New York Jets, until shown otherwise that there is a productive fantasy pattern there. Arizona-Tennessee, one of the bigger totals of the week. I don't expect Derrick Henry's workload will be impacted by the addition of Julio Jones. Let's see if A.J. Brown's production is affected by the addition of Julio Jones. From the Arizona standpoint, let's see if A.J. Green has anything. I don't imagine any of you drafted him. I'm hearing things that A.J. Green could give us reason to rush to the waiver wires to grab him after week one, week two. Chargers-Washington, by the way, significant money moving towards Washington in this one. I'm all over Washington, by the way. I think the Chargers are very overvalued overall. I think Herbert and Allen are playing fantasy football only. For those of you that drafted Austin Eckler, I think you're ignorant to the fact that he's never been a consistent number one back to handle a number one back workload, and he's already hurt going into week one. Rivera will have Washington ready to play. Fitzmagic is always ready to play. So you've got Fitzmagic at quarterback, Gibson at running back, and McScorin at wide receiver. Boom, boom, boom. Three consistent producers, not only a fantasy points, but overall. So not only do I like Washington in the game, I just told you, you know, what Washington has there offensively. And if you're playing Austin Eckler, keep checking status on the injury. I'm not telling you to bench him if you drafted him as your RB1 or RB2, but I think you're going to regret it in the long haul. Philadelphia-Atlanta. Let's see. I guess we're looking at what Jalen Hurts does if he's on a short leash as quarterback of the Eagles. I know someone in one of my leagues in the foundation drafted him as a QB1, but he is an Eagles fan. I get the dual threat side of things. Maybe poor man's Lamar Jackson numbers. So I'm looking at that. Beyond Hurts, what else do the Eagles have going offensively that is fantasy worthy? There's a lot of questions there. From Atlanta's standpoint, I wonder if Ridley is a wide receiver one. I know the numbers were good in the games Jones didn't play last year. But now Jones is gone permanently. And the Falcons have no running game to keep defensive coordinators from consistently double-teaming Calvin Ridley and saying to the Falcons, beat us another way. Seattle at Indy, by the way, a lot of money moving towards Seattle in this game. I agree with that completely. I guess what I'm looking for from the Colts is Jonathan Taylor debut. What's he got after what, top 7 or 8 running back performance last year overall? From Seattle standpoint, how quickly does Russell Wilson hit the ground running? He's sort of the ultimate love-hate fantasy quarterback. Overall, the numbers are generally pretty good, but for some reason, there seems to be negative backlash towards Russell Wilson as far as a consistent fantasy quarterback. Minnesota-Cincinnati, speaking of teams playing fantasy football only, the Minnesota Vikings. Again, I'm on record as saying this is the last season for their GM, their head coach, and their quarterback. How about Jefferson? 1,400 yards plus receiving last year as a rookie, one of the best ever. Let's keep an eye on him, especially with no Irv Smith. Will Jefferson be more productive in the red zone? Last year, that was Thielen, no Smith in this game. So I'm looking at that. Because even Cynthia Freeland, who I'm a big fan of from NFL Network, is projecting enormous numbers for Jefferson this year in year two. So I'm happy to have ownership of him. From Cincinnati standpoint, I don't know. I'm just happy Joe Burrow is healthy. Let's see if Ja'Marr Chase can actually catch a ball. San Francisco and Detroit, Niners huge favorite here. Probably the biggest one on Sunday, right? At 8.5? Yeah. Who's it going to be? Mostert or Sermon? I have ownership of both. So let's see. From Detroit's standpoint, I guess we're looking to see how Jared Goff is going to look in a Lions uniform. I didn't think he was horrible with the Rams. He had some great moments. I don't know how you go from McVay and the Rams to being better in Detroit. I don't imagine any of you have him either on your roster or planning on starting him, and I don't blame you. Where are we? Cleveland, Kansas City. From Cleveland's standpoint, you know, Baker Mayfield he's not playing fantasy football. Right? You Baker owners like me have learned that. No matter how good he looks on the field, in a bad year or a good year, it doesn't translate to fantasy numbers. Let's see in what's expected to be a high-scoring game if he actually does that in week one. From Kansas City standpoint, let's just more the same, right? If you have ownership of Mahomes, Kelce, Hill, you're expecting big things. Let's see it. Miami, New England. What are we looking for from Miami? Well, Will Fuller is still suspended, not back until week two. So what's the workload for Myles Gaskin, right? Who was a very popular waiver pickup and play the back half of last year. From New England's standpoint, this is Mac Jones's team now. Let's see what we learn in week one. Sony Michel is gone. Gronk is gone. Brady is gone. Cam Newton is gone. A lot of guys are gone. This may be a learning experience for us more than any other team. Denver favored by 3 over the Giants. I guess Jerry Jeudy or the rookie running back Williams might be in your starting lineups this week one because you drafted them to be starters. Yeah, I would believe more in the rookie running back than I would in Jeudy because I don't believe Denver has their quarterback yet. I think it was anybody but Drew Lock this year, and I think they're ready to turn the page on Bridgewater the minute they can get somebody else, whether that's Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, or draft one next year. From the Giants' standpoint, you know, their quarterback turns it over more than any quarterback the last 2 years, and that includes Jameis, although Jameis didn't play last year. Other than that playoff touchdown pass. So, Galladay going to New York. I mean, it's tough to find a worse place than Detroit to be fantasy productive, but Galladay might have found it. Chicago and the Rams, from the Bears standpoint, we're on Justin Fields' watch. I have nothing against Andy Dalton, but we're waiting for Justin Fields to quarterback this team, and then we can see what they're going to be like fantasy-wise and otherwise. I expect Allen Robinson will perform well, even if Jalen Ramsey is on him the entire game. They're both just two outstanding players. From the Rams standpoint, all right, a lot of questions here. How good is Matt Stafford going to be? Who gets more of the work out of the backfield, Henderson or Sony Michel? And will Cooper Kupp's numbers maintain, and will Woods' numbers go up, and will Stafford feature Higbee the way he threw to T.J. Hockenson in Detroit? So a lot of questions there. Where am I? Do I have a couple more? I do. Green Bay, New Orleans on a neutral site from the Packers. How much early down work is A.J. Dillon going to get? Yeah, that's what I'm watching there. From New Orleans' standpoint, the focus here, Can Alvin Kamara be productive on a team without Drew Brees and a healthy Michael Thomas? I have doubts. And finally, Ravens and Raiders. From the Ravens standpoint, Tyson Williams, you're up. But I think Lamar Jackson will be in a position to do a lot, both running and throwing. And from the Raiders standpoint, I guess two things we're looking for: if Carr can get any production out of any one wide receiver to start the season, which he didn't all last year, it was Darren Waller. And will Josh Jacobs lose significant touches to Kenyon Drake? So there are my thoughts every game the rest of the weekend from a fantasy perspective. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, and I thank Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of what we do here. My email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.